Hey everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Oh, I'm really enjoying these topics.
Yeah, me too. And we've decided that we're going to cover for several weeks parables of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'll get this frog out of my throat in a minute. The last episode that we did was about the log and the speck.
Yeah.
And then this episode today is about new wineskins.
Yeah. It's it's short.
Right? It is. Right? It is, but there's a whole lot to unpack.
There's a ton to unpack.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
So let me read the scripture, right? We're going to we're going to be in Matthew, mm-hmm. and it's Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to do verses 16 and 17? Go to 14.
Let's go to 14 to 17. Yeah, let's do that because it gives a little bit of a context there.
All right. Do you want to read it or do you want me to?
Go ahead.
Okay. So we'll start with verse 14, chapter 9 of Matthew. And it says, "Then John's disciples came and asked him, 'How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' Jesus answered, 'How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved.'" All right.
Ready?
You're smiling.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so let's talk about where this question came from, first of all.
Okay.
Before we get into, new wineskins and old wineskins. So John's disciples came to Jesus specifically and asked him, why do we have to follow this but you don't, basically?
Right.
Like, what makes you better than us?
That's right.
So Jesus has a great... a great parallel here with the wedding guest and old things versus new things.
Yeah.
And I don't think that in any of this Jesus wasn't being condescending to John's disciples. We're talking about John the Baptist here.
That's right. They said, right? Well, John said,
right,
we should do this, right?
Right, right. So the way that Jesus answers this question, it's kind of a two-part answer here. Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. In other words, and then, once the bridegroom's gone, everybody's going to be upset, and then, we'll go through the fasting process at that point. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and the worst tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed, but new wine is put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved." I want to first of all, look at unshrunk cloth on an old garment.
Okay.
Those of you out there who are listening who have already blown up your New Year's resolution to lose weight, blame it on the dryer.
That's right. It is the dryer. Yeah.
Because the dryer will shrink your jeans.
Yeah.
Shrinks your flannel.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Absolutely.
And because of overtime and things, in this reference, this is a literal reference that Jesus is making here. You've got a brand new piece of garment that you're going to use, a brand new piece of cloth that you're going to use. It's just spun. It's still stretched from the weaving of the garment itself. And over time, garments have a tendency to shrink up. I'm not going there. I was going to say we don't, but garments do. To put this kind of into a practical application, I think. We need to look at the old versus new in what Jesus wasn't putting away the old law as much as he because he said he'd come to finalize it.
That's right.
Right?
Right. I'm not here to abolish the law.
Right. I'm not here.
I'm here to fulfill it.
Fulfill it. I'm here to finalize it. I'm here to make it come to pass.
Right.
Right? So in that, Jesus is not telling them whether or not they need to fast.
That's right.
As much as you need to look to me. You need to see what I'm about and what this covenant that's about to take place is about.
Yeah. So when you this has always for me been, I guess for me, it's always been a hard parable to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And some of them are hard. Like, let's just be honest. So if you're listening and you struggle with the parables, so do I.
Well, the apostles had to ask.
They were like, what do you mean?
Yeah, come on. Can you explain this to us? Right? You know, the sower and the seed. Yeah. And,
You know, I get the whole, like, hey, why don't we have to fast, and him explaining things. But then when he talks about the garment,
mm-hmm.
I fail to recognize sometimes how that ties back. I get the wineskins, right?
Yeah.
And so you said, like, new clothes shrink,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you put an old patch on new clothes and the new clothes shrink, that patch comes off,
mm-hmm.
right?
And vice versa.
Okay. Right. Same with the wineskins. And so what is he teaching in that moment?
Well, this is a practical application that they would have understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's, John the Baptist wore camel skin.
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And everyone else in the area would have worn a wool or a fine linen or a skin or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So they would have understood, something. They would have understood the context that Jesus was talking about with a new patch on an old garment. Because they would have understood how that garment shrunk over time, as opposed to a new patch. The same thing with the wineskins. New wine, and I'm not a winemaker. I'm not, but I understand some of the process that goes into it, and know that I'm trying to think of what it's called now. It's not a distillation.
Fermentation.
The fermentation process, though, as it ferments, it gives off gases that expand.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And an old wineskin
is
brittle.
Is already stretched.
Really, right? It's not going it's already stretched.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stretch anymore. So because it's already stretched, it is brittle.
It is brittle.
Right?
Right.
So if you fill it up,
mm-hmm.
There's nowhere else for it to stretch.
Right.
Right? It's just going to explode.
Right.
That fermentation process is a bubbling,
mm-hmm.
right? And it has to have expansion and air. And so as all those things occur, that wineskin is going to shatter.
Right.
Totally get that.
Totally get that. So with the same thing that with the patch,
okay.
Patching, put a new patch on an old garment, because as that garment goes to shrink over time, it's going to pull on the stitch that the old garment is, or that it's attached to, the old garment.
Yeah.
And the old garment, obviously, how you got jeans that got threadbare.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I've got elbows on jackets that have done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so the exact same thing is going to happen as that new patch starts to come to its shape. Right. It's going to pull on the stitching and pull against that threadbare thread, that thread that is losing some of its tensile strength because of its age and its wear and tear. And that eventually that hole is going to be bigger.
Yeah. And so I understand that. I still think I don't I don't necessarily understand what Jesus is trying to teach.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that's just me. Like, I get it. And I can go, I've got 30 commentaries right? And I can read what it says here in my study Bible. Mm-hmm. But from a practical point of view, I understand the wineskins. But what is he teaching us?
I think, honestly, instead of trying to patch up the old stuff,
yeah,
get new.
Yeah.
Because it's coming.
I can see that. Yeah, get new because it's coming. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to occur, right? So how do you have that conversation with people, right? When you're talking about, like, why we don't do this or why we don't do that, and Jesus is like, look.
Yeah. I think that
this is a hard one for me because it's not like, you know, and we're going to get to this, but it's not like the prodigal son.
Right. Or
it's not like
the Good Samaritan.
The Good Samaritan, right? Those are like, here's what Christ is trying to teach us.
Right, right.
And recently, last week's episode of The Chosen, by the time this comes out, it'll have been two or three episodes. He talks about the wineskins,
mm-hmm.
right? In that episode, they're at the table and Andrew's like, Lord, you know, John the Baptist said, you know, this.
Yeah.
And why are you saying that? And right. and he talks about it and he explains it. And it's an amazing moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And anybody who hasn't watched The Chosen, you need to do it.
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
You need to do it. You can do it on every platform there is.
Pretty much every platform.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to do it. But I still, something in my mind doesn't click when I think about this parable, and I don't know why.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So, and this is a kind of a practical application that I've had to kind of cipher through, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like Jethro Bodine, but kind of cipher through. Look at that boy go. Is the old life that we had before.
Yeah.
Don't try to patch that up.
Oh, yeah.
Don't try to make that brand new, because here is your brand new life spiritually.
Okay.
You know, don't try to you've heard the saying before, you can't polish up a turd.
That's right.
That's the whole thing. That's right. And that's what our old life was like.
Yeah.
You know, and so a brand new life in salvation with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the old man has gone away, the new man rises up, you know, the whole thing with.
All right. So this is making sense, right? This is making sense to me now.
Right.
Right. Because the old me, I can't keep being the old me.
Right.
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 And be the new me today.
Right.
Right. There's no room for all of the love and care and joy and peace
mm-hmm.
and everything that mm-hmm. comes from Christ.
Right.
There's no room for all of that.
If I'm
still in my old life.
Exactly.
If I'm still that old person.
Right. Right. Right.
So that to me is I don't want to say perfect, but the best way I think I could understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To be able to go, yeah, I get it.
Now, I'm not saying that's the right thing or the only thing. That's Batman's, you know.
But no, it makes sense. Right. This is all about, you know, how we interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's spiritual, right?
I agree.
I can't go, well, it means this.
Right.
Right? It means I get to drink all the wine I want. Right?
No, that's, I don't mean
that's
that.
That's not what this is.
I don't mean that. But at the same time, if you continue on in that passage and go down to the new wineskins. No one pours, you know, new wine into old wineskins unless they burst. And,
right.
You know, that application to me shows, shines a little bit of light back on the patch and the garment because of the things that we take in our new life, especially as a new believer, as a new Christian, a brand new walking with Christ.
Yeah.
Those things, you're going to, as you go and you take in more of him.
Right.
you're obviously going to expand.
Right.
You're going to expand your knowledge, and being able to turn knowledge into wisdom, you know, that's the difference in 18 inches, you know, from your head to your heart. And so when you, once you walk that out with Christ, and you are walking as a new person, you know, the old turd, you know, that you tried to polish up is gone.
Yeah.
You know, but the brand new Rick or the brand new Rob or the brand, you know, those things, because you want to know more about the word.
That's right.
You want to understand more about what parables mean. You know, you want.
That's why we're doing this.
Exactly.
Right. And I think it's you know, as hard as it is for me to be vulnerable and say, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I've said many times on this, right? I didn't go to seminary. I'm not a theologian, right? I'm not any of those things. But what I am is I'm a Christ follower who wants to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And these are as much about me learning as anybody audience. Listening.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And that's why I love that we have decided to go through the parables.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's like 38 or 40.
Yeah, right? Something like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a bunch.
There's a bunch.
Yeah.
And so. This is going to be a journey.
And it's going to be a fun journey.
Going to learn a lot.
A lot. And I'm looking forward to that. I really am. I really am. But as far as, you know, like new wineskins and old wineskins, and you know, we talked about the fermentation process and the thing. I cannot hit the code in my phone correctly. There it goes.
Yeah.
You know, the new wineskins and old wineskins, these are things that the audience – the original intended audience, the disciples of John, would have understood.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus' first recorded miracle was at a wedding. And you know, Galilean weddings and areas where Jesus was or where Jesus ministered and those things, those weddings were a huge focal point for fellowship.
Absolutely, they were.
You know, so that's another reason that the wedding feasts and the wedding guests and even the 10 virgins, parable and things like that. That's the reason that because it was such a focal point in society at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was something that would resonate immediately with the audience and go, oh, wait, we're done. Oh, really?
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting when we were watching The Chosen and he says, get that wineskin off the wall. Right? Have you seen that episode yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I'll shut up then.
No. Go ahead. Because, I mean, go ahead.
But you know, they're sitting down at the table and they're eating and he tells, I think he tells Matthew or he tells somebody, like, get that wineskin off the wall. And Matthew's like, no, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he starts explaining it. And it's just a look, you want to cry a little bit, watch The Chosen.
I'm just going to be honest with you. The first two seasons and yeah.
This season is,
yeah.
It's,
but now, I look at a lot of different sources of things a lot of times, you know, because I don't want to have to, you know, just a certain bent on one particular topic or you know.
Absolutely.
But I've heard a lot of people complain lately about The Chosen because some of it is not just exactly word for word, you know.
Well, here's what I would say to that. At the beginning of every episode, they say, everything that is related directly to Scripture is precise.
Right.
But outside of what is directly related to Scripture, we have taken liberties to tell the story.
Right.
Right? Like Scripture, when he's telling the parable of this, right, the wineskins at the table, he doesn't – in Scripture, it doesn't – nowhere did we read that Andrew asked this question.
Yeah.
Right? At least to my knowledge.
Right.
Right? Maybe I'm wrong.
It's not – no.
Right? I don't see that it says that they're at Simon Peter's house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't see that it says, you know, Eden, which is Peter's wife, is serving them when they're having this conversation, that the wineskins are on there. Like, there's all and these things.
Yeah, right? That's another thing, too, though. Does Scripture ever call Peter's wife's name?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right. But so what they have said is, they have said, look, we're telling a story.
Right.
And when it's related and talking about Scripture, it is precise and accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But other things, maybe not.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't know.
Right.
And it's not, and so they're tying them back as close as they can.
To what Scripture?
To what Scripture said.
Okay.
Or what Scripture would believe.
Right.
It's just like us sitting here having this conversation about the wineskins.
Yeah.
We can perceive however we want that when and where that conversation occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And are we wrong? I don't know.
I have no idea.
We're not going to know until we're like, hey, Jesus.
But is that a salvatic thing, though?
No. I mean,
salvation-based thing?
I don't think it is.
You know, whether or not they
I think
this,
it's irrelevant where they had the conversation.
I do, too.
Right?
It's not important.
And I think some of the people that maybe are less than okay with the chosen are because they think, why are you making that up?
Right. Or that the King James Version is the only version of the Bible.
I don't know how to break it to you. Christ didn't speak King's English.
Nope.
And the King James was not the first Bible printed.
And the King James was printed in, what, 1632? Something like that? Is that right?
Is that something like that.
16?
1565 or yeah, 1630 something. Maybe. Or something, right?
1613? Maybe 1632 was the first time that it was actually a publication.
Maybe,
the,
yeah. 1613, I think, is when they started, maybe.
Right.
And then 1632. Maybe so,
yeah. I don't know the specific dates. But
I don't know the dates either. But
either way.
At the end of the day, it wasn't the first Bible. There were thousands and thousands of copies of a Bible before King James.
Right. Well, and Jesus read scrolls in the
temple. That's right.
You know?
That's right. The Torah was there long before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, and like I said, nobody spoke King's English.
True.
None of the apostles, right? They didn't write in King's English, so you can't mm-hmm. sit and say that's the one only yeah. true Bible, right?
Right.
And so I think that's the problem some people have, is that they look at it and go, well, you can't prove that, so you shouldn't say that.
Sure. I get that.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm saying, I know you can't prove it, but it feels like that's how Christ would have done it.
Right.
Right? When he's talking to his disciples, he was around about the wineskins, right? And so I'm just keeping going back to the wineskins.
Mm.
In the chosen,
yeah.
Let me just clarify that.
Right.
When he's talking to them in the chosen,
mm-hmm.
they're sitting around a table, they're fellowshipping, they're yeah. talking, they're not fasting, even though maybe they should be. And that's when Andrew says, hey, why don't we fast?
Yeah.
And that's when he's like, hey, give me that wineskin. Hey, what about this? Hey, mm-hmm. right? And he starts having that conversation. And I picture that's how Christ would have done it with his disciples, right? The apostles that are with him in everyday life.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Just like you and I sit down here and we talk and you know, when we're not recording, we're talking and we're talking about life and family.
Yeah.
And what are we going to talk yeah. about next?
Yeah, what's going to be our next topic?
Right?
Yeah.
And how do we get ready for that? And we talked about like what we did on the Bible study this morning and receptivity right. and all of these. Like we have conversation. I feel like that's what he would have done.
I believe that's true. Now, I'm not by any means comparing Rick or I, either
oh,
one,
not,
to Jesus.
Yeah, not
please
even,
don't say that.
No,
please
no, no.
don't even think that. But
not
I
even, no.
I think in real day life, in everyday life, that's probably the way that things happened.
Yeah.
I think... based on what I don't want to say because of the way I live, but based on just life in general.
Yeah.
You know, that there were conversations outside of what's recorded in Scripture.
That's right.
Of what, and here's the trick to it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all recording four Gospels, and even in the areas where those counts of the gospel overlaps,
yeah,
you know where this one over, you know, and this story is the same here. There's still just a little bit different version. I won't say version of the story. There's a few events or details that are in this account that aren't in this one, and so you got to put the two of them together.
That's
and
right.
The whole nine yards. So,
but I would say because of that, right? Because there are little differences. That's how you know it wasn't like made up or copied.
Exactly.
Right. Because they're not identical.
Right.
You're hearing a story, a gospel told in Matthew's eyes, in Luke's, in Mark's
eyes, in John's.
Right.
Right.
And then the epistles through Paul's eyes.
Right.
Right. And that's how you can say, like, they didn't sit down and copy this.
Yeah, that's how you can say Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't necessarily a pitch to say go watch The Chosen, but go watch The Chosen.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to watch the third season.
When you get to this episode,
mm-hmm.
I say you'll cry.
Okay. If I do, I'm going to call you.
Send me a text.
Yeah.
Because, look, in that episode is also when the woman touches the hem.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I'm not going to say anything about that, but you don't see her story in the Bible. You just know.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you knew that she had this faith. You knew why. You knew she was bleeding.
For 12 years.
Right?
Yeah.
That she was unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you don't know, even in like Orthodox Jewish communities today,
mm-hmm.
when a woman is at that time of the month, she's not allowed.
Not inside the gate.
They're not allowed to sleep in the same bed as their husband.
Right, but they have to be outside.
They have to be outside.
Right.
Their husband isn't even allowed, like if you're like, hey, will you give me the salt? They have to set it on the table. The husband's not even allowed to hand it to them.
Right.
Right, because they're unclean.
Right.
So here's a woman that based on Jewish law was unclean for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing part of this episode.
Okay. All right. I'm going to watch it.
Right?
We're going to watch
it. But you just, it brings the parables
mm-hmm.
to life.
Yeah.
When you said to me, like, hey, let's talk about the wineskins, I was like, oh, praise God. Because I just watched that. Did I understand it all? No.
Yeah.
Right?
That was one I was looking through, you know, parables that I've heard about. I've read this parable several times. I've heard this parable preached, and you know, I've been in conversations about this parable so many times. But we've talked about this a lot, about how alive the Scripture is, and coming back and reading. And talking about and getting into studying, you know, different parts of Scripture again, the Book of Acts, you know, or Hebrews. Our Sunday morning TI group we're going through Hebrews, and you know there are so many things in Hebrews, you know, that you miss.
Yeah.
Time after time after time again, and then you may read the Book of Hebrews for the 15th time, and something jump out in the 11th chapter, and you go, wow.
Right.
You know, and so us discussing parables of Jesus and this particular one, there's a wow factor for both of us in this.
Amen to that, right?
You know.
And I feel like, for me, thinking about what you said, right, that it's about, you know, you don't put it in the new self or the old self, right? You have to walk away from the old you.
Right.
Right. And so for me, you know, walking away from that old you and now filling up with the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is. I'm filling up with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that old me would have broke by now.
Oh, yeah.
I was not emotionally, spiritually, physically ready to embrace what God was going to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would have cracked just like an old wineskin.
But at the same time, that you do not. Folks, hear this. You can never ready yourself enough.
Amen to that. Yeah.
To say, I'm ready to be saved now.
Yeah.
You can never do that.
Yeah.
You can never clean up enough. You can never stop doing enough. You can never, you can't do it.
Yeah. But what I mean when I say that, because you're 100% right.
I know what you're saying, but I wanted to clarify too. But go ahead and clarify.
Yeah. So when I say that, I felt and knew, right? I had heard from God,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying don't do all of that. Like, be careful what you do when you're not saved.
Sure.
Right? You don't have to do anything to be saved other than say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I'm a sinner. I repent. Forgive me. Let's go. Right?
Yep.
That's all you got to do to be saved.
Call on the name of Jesus.
Call on the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Take care of me.
Yep.
But once you do that, you're new.
Brand new.
You're brand new.
Right. So you've crossed the line in the sand.
That's right. That you're no longer an old wineskin.
Right. Exactly.
Right. You're new.
Right.
And so because you're new, fill it up.
Yeah.
Fill it up. Don't let it sit empty.
Right. And that new wineskin can take so much more. So everything that you draw in from Christ, everything that you draw in from Scripture,
right,
everything that the Holy Spirit is leading you through, that – did we lose it?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. Everything that the Holy Spirit is leading you through, you're going to be able to walk through because it's a brand new wineskin.
Right.
You know, the old you, the old Rob, the old Rick, those things are gone.
Yeah. You can't get them back.
And don't want them back.
That's right. That's right. You don't.
Yep.
All right. So how would you finish? We've talked a lot about this and our walks and different stuff about this parable.
I think the way that I would finish this would be to remind myself this time, remind myself that I have to continue of taking on Christ new every single day.
Yeah.
I have to continue to remind myself of my newness every single day so that the old stuff, I can't patch it up.
That's right.
I can just expand the new.
That's right.
Just expand the new.
Just expand the new. Praise God.
And keep expanding it every day.
Absolutely. This has been a good one.
I loved it.
Hey, we just want to say thanks. We appreciate your time.
Yep. If you all have a question for us, if there's something that is burning in your mind, or if you need help with finding a local church or whatever, please, please, please send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org.
Yeah.
And one of the two of us will get back with you as quickly as possible and answer a question or help you find a church, or if there's a topic that you would like for us to speak on when we get finished with the parables of Jesus, then...
And we'll probably take a break, right? We'll probably do four or five parables, then do a couple maybe topics, and then pick them back up, right?
Pick them back up,
Because we don't want to be like all about parables forever, right? Because, we could go a long time.
Hey, I went 51 weeks one time in a sermon. Not me, but I sat in a sermon series for 51 weeks in a book of Exodus and only got to the 20th chapter.
Yeah,
that's 51 weeks.
That's too much. That's too much. The most I've done is maybe 30 weeks on Acts.
Oh, that would be.
And then, and we didn't get through it all. We took a 6 month break and then picked it back up and did another 30 weeks.
Great day.
That's right. It was a lot. It was
a lot.
But, praise God, because I learned a lot too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So look, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
The one thing that's important to remember is to love God
and love people.